This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hi, and welcome to this week's show. I got something totally different and fun for you. I try to mix things up. I hope you, as the listening audience, appreciates that, trying to keep it loose and fun for you. I appreciate you listening and hope you're having great joy and maybe even learning something from all these podcast shows. But hey, for today's, I was going through the Laughs Unlimited archives, and we have a recording of a TV show called Comics Keep 'Em Laughing that was done locally by KXTV Channel 10 back in 1987. The host of the show was Jonathan Mumm. He went on to a lot of television work, and it was produced and directed by Mike Garza, who went on to a lot of local celebrity and television. So let me tell you about it. Comics Keep 'Em Laughing was a combination of material and interviews with a number of comics. In this first segment, there's an interview and material by the very funny Dennis Wolfberg. I've mentioned him several times on the podcast. Also, comic Jimmy Burns, who I recently did an interview with, and his material is also on the shows. And somebody that we didn't end up doing a lot of work with and has not appeared on the podcast before, opening act Don Heppner. So these three comics share both material and an interview in this first segment. Then there's another two more segments, and I'll introduce them separately. But for right now, from 1987, let's listen to the TV show Comics Keep 'Em Laughing with your host, Jonathan Mumm.
Dr. Ruth is a remarkable woman. In fact, she's only about 4'9". I don't know if you know. Very, very tiny. And my wife embarrassed me. Before the show began, we were all introduced backstage. Dr. Ruth's about 4'9". My wife asked her if she'd been in the movies, and it was. It's an internationally famous woman, and my wife is doing munchkin jokes.
Ever wondered what it would be like to tell jokes for a living? Step out onto a stage like this, squinting under those bright lights. Stare out into a darkened room full of people who just paid good money to laugh. Now, many of us at one time or another have been the life of the party. Tell a few jokes, get a few laughs. Hey, Merle, is this on? And maybe just for an instant, we think about it.
But if you've got all the laughs in the country, it means getting attention.
These amateurs.
Nah, it'll never happen. But for some people, the calling is just too hard to resist. In a few moments, you'll meet some of these brave souls who call themselves comedians. So stay with us. By the way, did you hear the one about the guy who didn't know the plural of mongoose? Well, a lot of two.
Which is spared no expense in keeping us happy. It's a very lovely condo that they've purchased for our comfort, as opposed to last week when I played in Mobile, Alabama. They put me up at a place called La Quinta Inn. I don't know if they have this. Are you familiar with this? The finest thing, 1.5-star lodging, certainly very, very nice. I had one of those beds where you put in a quarter. I don't know if you're familiar with this. You get 500 magic fingers, can you imagine? Except in my room, only one of them worked, and is the last time I sleep on my back. Like getting your temperature taken in the middle of the night. Trying to sleep.
Dennis Wolfberg has been doing comedy full-time for the past 10 years. He recently headlined at Laughs Unlimited in Old Sacramento. He's one of the hottest comics in the country. His most recent credits include a spot on both the David Letterman and Johnny Carson shows.
Being funny off stage is one thing, and then going on stage in front of a group of strangers on a stage in a theatrical setting is really very different.
And moms or anybody, what are you not supposed to do when you have chicken pox?
Scratch it.
Sure. Pass the steel wool.
Jimmy Burns, no relation to George, is 33 years old. He's the middle act, a step above the opener.
Well, it's tough when you first start out.
because you're afraid of the rejection, you know, and then you figure they're rejecting you as a person, but they don't know me as a person. My wife rejected me as a person.
Now, once you got that gimmick, you got to get something. Women love men who are sensitive enough to cry. So all I had to do was figure out how I could make one eye cry. So when my date's not watching, I take out a pair of needle-nose pliers, I reach up, and I pluck out a nose hair.
Don Heppner is the opening act. Don has been working in showbiz in one form or another since 1961.
What's tough for me is that in the past I have done Molière, I've done Shakespeare, I've done all of these great writers who, like Molière, went out and did the hinterlands for 10 years and got everything down pat and then came into Paris and he was a hit, but he had everything mastered and written. So now I'm getting up there in front of people, which is not a problem, but saying, okay, now what I am writing is funny.
These are my eyes. I hope they don't frighten you. This is the way they are. There are advantages to having eyes like this. In this business, we do commercials, and with my eyes, I should be able to sell some coffee.
When you first start out, they're not laughing. That aspect can be pretty tough. You're giving of yourself, you're giving of your guts and your blood up there and your ego and your being, and people in the audience are just looking at you and saying, you're not funny.
3 weeks ago, I've been working a lot in the last year, year and a half, and things have been steadily getting more and more better, you know, people are laughing more. And 3 weeks ago, I went on stage and went, pow, and nothing.
I said earlier, I'm originally from Omaha, Nebraska. Oh, thank you very much.
I started laughing. It was probably nervous laughter, but it was like, come on, folks, I've been working for a while now. You know, we're not hitting here. Why are we not hitting here? And it was humbling experience. It was wonderful for me, I think.
Expect that there might be nights that will be humiliating and just incredibly embarrassing and difficult and unforgettable, but it's part of the craft, it's part of the price you pay, and it's a necessary part of the evolution process.
And my wife embarrassed me. Before the show began, we were all introduced backstage. Dr. Woods is about 4'9". My wife asked her if she'd been in the Wizard of Oz. It's an internationally famous woman, and my wife still munching jokes. Embarrassing judgment. I was crimson.
While growing up, Dennis discovered his talent for making people laugh. All his life, he toyed with the idea of entertaining, and after 12 years as a school teacher in New York City's South Bronx, he decided to give showbiz a try.
When you decide you want to go in the show business, you have to kind of figure out how. You want to be a singer, you want to be an actor, a dancer. I thought if you did a nightclub act, basically you could do anything you wanted. You could sing, you could dance, you could tell jokes, be funny. You're your own writer, you're your own director, you're your own producer, and you're your own star.
To be honest, I had an identity problem in college because I was a male elementary education major. Stop. It's not a real macho image.
Oh, my first experience alone was scary. It was in Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha, Nebraska didn't have a comedy market, and so they had like, what they call it? They call it a hook show.
As a teacher, I found out a secret. Children are much quieter on ditto flu. No milk and crackers in Mr. Burns' room. No, we had ditto daiquiris.
It was scary, but I loved it. Does that make sense? I'm kind of sick, aren't I?
I was walking out after my audition. They went, oh, Mr. Heppner, Mr. Heppner. I went, yes, yes. And they said, come here. And listen, do you have any more material? And I go, yeah, I got about, you know, 30 more minutes. And they said, well, gee, could you come back next week? And I said, golly, I won't be here. I'll be down in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, when will you be back? I said, geez, I don't know. And I was thinking at the time, I guess they didn't like my stuff.
Now, with all due respect to the doctor, I couldn't help but say on national television that I don't think so. I don't profess to speak for all men in America, but I'm not all that mechanical, thank you very much. I have trouble handling chopsticks, not just among these little babies. And I am Jewish, and Jewish people do not install anything.
I used to bring a guitar up so that if people wouldn't laugh, I could launch into song and salvage some degree of dignity. And the night I auditioned in 1976, August of 76, it was 3 a.m. There were 2 people in the audience, and as I was introduced, they left.
Although he doesn't rely on his guitar to get through his act anymore, he's not opposed to using one when the opportunity arises. On this particular night, Dennis borrowed the guitar from the showcase act.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
Please, very nice. Was I in tune? Was the guitar overly loud? Boy, I'm not used to it. Okay, it's weird. It's weird. Thank you very much. See, I told you, I didn't need the guitar. Now for the booze and the barnyard babes. Huh? Is comedy a way to make a living? Or what?
Wow, that was interesting. I really enjoyed that. The interview and the material by Dennis Wolfberg brings back such memories. He was such a terrific talent, and sadly, we lost him at a young age. And him grabbing the guitar and doing some music was extra fun. Jimmy Burns, of course, is still a close friend. He was recently interviewed, and his material has appeared several times on the podcast. Great to see him interviewed. And then that opening act, Don Heppner, don't have a lot of memory of working with him, but he brought a different perspective as an actor to stand-up comedy. So I hope you enjoyed that first segment of Comics, Keep 'Em Laughing. All right, we're going to go into segment 2, and this one is really focused on open micers and new comics. It features interviews with Mo Betterman, who you've heard interviewed and on material on this podcast, Chuck Walker, who I remember as a regular opening act, locally grown, but he has not appeared or seen, I've not seen or heard from him in a long time. Somebody I don't remember, Terrence Savastino, and then a good friend of mine, Rick Polito, who's not only a terrific comic, but also a great artist, did a lot of work for me around my various businesses. And there's a comedy team, Mark Sadler and Mike Hull. And these number of acts, along with some others that aren't even named, is a whole segment about opening acts at the Metro Bar and Grill, which was a showcase bar that allowed comedy. And this is where people were trying out their material and their comedy in a totally amateur environment. And adding that to the TV show Comics, Keep 'Em Laughing, made it a great dynamic. After this segment, we have some more professional comedy. But right now, let's jump into opening mic comedy in Sacramento with Jonathan Mumm and a number of local stand-ups.
Here comes the good part. Here comes the real thing. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Metro Comedy Bar and Grill.
The Metro Club in downtown Sacramento is one of the few places where young comedians can practice their routines. On Wednesday nights, the club has an open mic, and aspiring comics line up for a chance to perform.
I'm tired of hearing how stupid California's high school students are. I was one of them once. Come on.
You make fun of me, but I don't care. I kind of like my donkey hands like my feet.
I feel great. I slept like a baby last night. I really did. I drooled, I spit up, wet the bed, and cried until I was breastfed.
This last one is like a Scandinavian one, right? This is the Scandinavian word for okay. Okay, fine, you betcha. Yeah, okay, good.
This is a place where you can definitely start. You can't go knocking on Laughs Unlimited's door and say, hey, I want to do comedy. You know, Scott Edwards, the first thing he's going to probably ask you, has you ever been to the Metro? You know,
because about 4 years ago, Chuck Walker, himself an aspiring comedian, sold management on the idea of showcasing local talent.
I think it's made a real difference because someone recently told me I look like Elvis Presley. Just before he died.
You know, the first night you come down, chances are you're going to get up and do your act. And you can come back and work on it every week, fine-tune it. And this gives you the base work to go to clubs like Laughs Unlimited, places in San Francisco, you know. And it's a lot better to work in a club like this because, you know, you don't have to really worry about somebody in the business coming down here and going, ah, this guy's terrible, I don't want to see him again. You know, you come out here for 2 years, 3 years, whatever you think it takes you to work on your act, and then you're ready to go out on the road or something.
Yo, Mike, man, you ain't bad, man. You ain't bad. Mike says, yes, I am. I am too bad.
He said, no, Mike, you don't convince me, you ain't bad.
Said, well, okay, but I'm cranky. I've had my cocoa.
My impression of Mike, I don't know.
27-year-old Mo Betterman has been coming to open mic night past 2 years. Originally from the Bronx in New York, he moved here to Sacramento with his parents. He says he's been doing comedy all his life.
I remember my first joke, the very first joke. What's big and red in these rocks? A big red rock eater. That's pretty good for a six-year-old, trust me. It made the bullies laugh, and from then on, it's been relatively smooth sailing.
I got one more song. Yay! This is on the 200-year anniversary of Kicking English Butt. Yay.
30-year-old Terence Savastano is from Oxford, England. He's a full-time entertainer and supports himself by playing music, acting, comedy, and a singing telegram service he owns.
I was born with a small brain. All my friends have got small brains. I'll probably die with the same small brain, but it's big enough for me. Hey! Thank you.
And I decided to make the switch from working in a job and doing it on the side to doing it full time, because anybody who ever made it big does it full time. When people say, what do you do for a living? I'm an entertainer. That's it. Yeah, and then they say, what's your real job? And I say, that is my real job.
Okay, does your wife support what you're doing?
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she lets me, you know, she says, you know, she thinks it's a phase, so she's saying, go ahead and go with it.
But anyway, they are. They're different. There's one thing about me that I don't understand about women, and that is the weird things that girls do with their hands. I don't know, have you ever noticed it, guys? And I'm sure girls, you have. Every girl does it. I don't know who care where she is or who she is, they all do it. Every girl does it, no matter where they are, they all do it. Yeah, girls, you can relate to this one, can't you?
When you're at work and you're doing your stuff or you're at home, you know, with your family, you think about being on stage and you think like everybody else does. How can you go up there? It's that's strange, you know, being up on stage. But then you come here and you're a little bit nervous, but man, once you hit that light and the microphone is on you, you're a total beast, a different beast, you know, and you just let go.
Doing comedy is like being a boxer sometimes. You go out there, you hit them with your best stuff. Sometimes it stuns them and they're reeling and they're just falling all over the place. But sometimes they just look at you like, that was your best stuff? And then it's like, go for what you know. It's no longer a boxing match, it's a street fight.
Okay, we're a comedy tennis, we're taking over. Okay, and panic. Amor, do you have the demands?
Yes, I have the demands.
If something looks interesting to us, which comedy really does, then we felt that we should try it. And we should really go out and just do it. And with the experience we've had on stage, we felt confident that we could go out there and do it.
And we grew up watching Saturday Night Live when we were kids, and John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and everything. And I don't know, I think we do sort of use that kind of humor when it comes to a skit.
It is silly to think that just a year ago, Amour and I were working at a 7-Eleven.
And now we get to visit all kinds of interesting places, such as Lebanon, Beirut.
You can see like who they're patting themselves after. But after a while, as you get more experience and go on the road a lot, you come out in your own comedy persona. Okay, my style that I'm trying to develop is so uncool that it's cool. You know what I mean? Not exactly Pee Wee Herman. That's the stream. But something between Pee Wee and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. You know, I was reading Cosmopolitan magazine, because I do read, you know. I was reading that for every male, there are 6 women out there for you. But I can't understand, because somebody got my 6.
Open mic night at the Metro is a long way from mainstream comedy clubs, but the comics who come here to practice their act hope one day they'll be there.
Most people get booked by either 2 choices. They can showcase. Every Thursday we have a showcase. People sign up. We're generally booked up 3 months ahead on showcases. We only accept professional showcasing. They come in and do 10 minutes, and I judge them on that, and I always watch them. The other way that is probably the most commonly used is videotape. I probably receive an average of 1 to 2 tapes a week.
Now the word is around here that comedy is going to take the place of where rock and roll was 10 years ago. And now where you can watch a rock and roller on video or on television or whatever, now you can still come down and see live comedy. And you're here, there's people around you, and it's just the atmosphere in a comedy club is different than just a normal nightclub.
So, hey, you guys, give yourselves a hand because we got a few more comics to go. The best is yet to come. All right, what you're seeing now has been like comedy appetizers. Now we're into like the main course of comedy, ladies and gentlemen.
If I make it to like the big time, have my own sitcom or own movie, that's fine. As long as I can like headline all over the country, that's a great life.
My real name is really Enrique Ojeda Ayala Pulido, and that's why my friends call me Rick. You know, and they always say, hey, guys always have those weird names, you know. And I say, hey, it's all how you look at it. You know, I look at you guys and say, what parent would name their kid?
I'm having a great time. I stand to lose nothing. If I don't make millions of dollars at this, I will always be a comedian. Even if I'm performing in a backyard or a chip party or here, you know, it's just my life. And if it gets accepted and I can make a living off it, great. If not, I'll always be a comedian. That's just me, you know.
Wow, that was fun and different for me. I'm not a regular at the Metro. I knew it was kind of a breeding ground for comedy back in the day. And I believe the bar is still there to this day. But back in the 80s and 90s, it was a crucible for young comics to try out material and decide if getting into comedy is something they wanted to do. And as mentioned a couple times in the interviews, it was their way of preparing to showcase for me at Laughs Unlimited, which, as I have mentioned, was an A room, and we generally only worked with real pros. But anyway, that was fascinating. So this last segment of the TV show from 1987, Comics Keep 'Em Laughing, with host Jonathan Mumm, it goes towards the difficult work of being a female stand-up comedy. There's material and an interview with Lois Bromfield, who's one of my favorite regulars. There's a great interview from her back in the early parts of this podcast. You should go hear it. She lives in Germany now, and we had a great conversation about a year and a half ago, and it's on this podcast. But Lois is a very funny comedian, and between her comedy and the interview, you'll learn what it's like to be a female stand-up comic, which is definitely more difficult. She goes a little deep in how she ended up being a comic, which is interesting. Also, there's an interview with Dennis Wolfberg's wife, Jeannie McBride. Now, it hasn't been mentioned before because Jeannie basically got out of the business after she married her husband, Dennis Wolfberg, the comic we've talked about many times. She had 3 kids with Dennis before he passed away. And Jeannie, before they were married, was a terrific comedian. In fact, she had worked for me a couple times. But she gave up comedy when she became a mom. But in this particular TV show, she was interviewed. No stand-up material from her, but she talks about the challenges of being a female comic. So here we go with part 3 of Comics Keep 'Em Laughing.
I was sitting over here, they had like the hair committee or something. There was a whole table of women with their hair all different ways. There was like, somebody had their hair like spiked out all blue, and the people were screaming trying to get out of the top. And then another woman had her hair tied straight back like this, real tight, real tight. It looked like somebody was water skiing on the other end. Like, it's kind of hard to look down that way, too. Where am I great? My hair looks like, and then it was a woman who had hair like mine. It was awful, you know, it looked like she'd always had too much to drink. She'd always been drunk. My hair looks like I shouldn't even be out drinking at all. It's like, I'm fine, I can drive.
I've tried to think of that for me, why I did it, because I didn't come from a horrible family. I came from a very unemotional family. So I think that maybe the reason that I like the feeling of people, strangers who love you like that in groups, is because I never got that, you know, that, well, I love you and hugging and Christmas. I mean, Christmas at my house was always horrible. It was like, Merry Christmas, here's your gift, you know. Real just, yeah, good night, gotta go to sleep, tired, take the tree down. No, real cold. I was like, it's over, it's the 26th, boom. Let's get the tree out, get the decorations that we're going to work, real tough. So now I get that in the audience, the laughing and the insects, we get that love back.
You guys have a great city though, and Citrus Heights, all you have is malls. You don't have any place to live.
Lois Bromfield started her comedy career 10 years ago after leaving her native Toronto for New York City. Although some of the material she uses is rehearsed, she is most comfortable just bouncing things off an audience.
What do you work at?
Mom Luggage down in the mall.
Mom Luggage?
Yeah, down there in downtown Plaza.
All right, don't get angry. Like I'm supposed to know. Mom Luggage, stupid. What do you work at?
Improvising is the most fun. And in the audience, when you're up on stage and things are going great and somebody in the audience does something funny and you start talking, get a banter going, it's the best. Those are the best sets, the best times, and the audience has the best time because they feel involved.
How old are you, sir?
22.
Mr. Civil back here, 22, 40. It's hot, it's cold, I love it, I hate it. You're not 22, are you?
Even though involving an audience can be fun, it can also encourage hecklers. Although Lois says a bigger problem for her is how men react to her material.
Sometimes I get groans on my jokes because the guys don't want me to do those jokes because they don't like it. Like when I talk about certain subject matter, they don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable coming from a woman that they find attractive. And if I were fat and dumpy and, you know, pimples on my face, maybe they would accept it more.
Mama, shut up, good mama.
Jeannie McBride, who is married to Dennis Wolfberg, is taking time off from her own career as a comedian to raise their 10-month-old son.
Thank you. I think it is different. I think that men can talk about things that are uniquely male, and no one will say, there's a guy who talks about being a man. But if a woman talks about things that are uniquely female, they label her a comedian who does woman stuff, you know, girl stuff.
Pardon me?
I'm a freak accident.
You are a freak accident?
Every day.
Yeah, well, you're a fascinating person to talk to. Anyway, what do you work at?
Me?
No, you have a personality. Now, the guy who's 22, what does he do?
Yeah, sometimes the guys hassle me, but not that much. I have a comeback, you know, for everything. So what are they going to do? You know, I hate to have to just go, whoa, God, cut them down. It's kind of, you don't want to have to, you want to do your act and have them enjoy it. And some guy yells something out. You have to sort of take away from that energy and deal with him. And
one of the problems a woman has is that if you come back too harsh, then the other people in the audience don't like you because you seem like this tough babe up there. And so they want you to be softer. And if you're too soft, then they feel like you can't handle them. And so you have to try and find a line somewhere in between.
It's a wacky world. Anyway, she's out of her mind. Somebody's going to smack her real hard.
With a shoe.
Oh, look at how she's heckling her. Wow, that's nice.
Okay, right now, baby.
Women are sometimes the worst hecklers in the world. Men are sometimes nothing. I'd rather perform in front of a bunch of truck drivers. I had a woman one time say, I was talking to her boyfriend, was talking to me on stage, and we were having like this great little joke thing going on. I wasn't coming on to him, we were just talking on stage. It wasn't my type anyway. And we're talking, and his girlfriend got like all uptight, you know? Real tough little chick type, and she got all mad. Got all breathing like this, and when I got off stage, she kind of went, "Hey, I'll see you outside." She got all tough like that. Oh, I'm not going outside. I'm staying here tonight. I got scared. So some women can get really mean, real tough.
Although being on the road can be a tough life, it can also be very lucrative. A headliner on the comedy circuit can make as much as $150,000 a year. What advice does she have for young hopefuls who want to make comedy a way of life?
If you really think you're good and you really believe in it and you're willing to work hard, do it. Because you never know. I mean, you can make it in a year, you can make it in 10 years, and you can never make it. So it's a crapshoot. It really is.
We'll go elsewhere. You want to be innocent and cute like you were when you were 9.
Well, thanks for joining us for this look at the wacky, wonderful world of comedians. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Jonathan Maugham. Remember, keep them laughing.
No, that's good. That's good. We love it. That's good. I don't work either, evidently. Anyway, no, that's exciting. That's great. I think people in Northern California are kind of smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're smarter here, aren't they? She just got out of prison. Yeah, we're all right. We get days off. I'm out laughing. I'm back in jail. How you doing? Chains smoke. Feel good about it. No, I think the men here are great because they don't yell at you. And in L.A., it's the worst because you walk out in the street because you're a lovely woman and you hear this from a passing car. Makes me scream. You hear this in the passing car here. Woo! Ow! Woo! Woo! Woo!
All right!
Woo! 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 Ow! Hey! Woo! Hey! Woo! Hey! Woo! Ow! Ow! Woo! 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 Hey! Woo! All right! Woo! 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 Ow! This
Wow, that was fun and interesting. Boy, I am such a huge fan of both Jeannie McBride and Lois Bromfield. Lois worked for me for many, many years. We did a lot of special events together. She now lives in Germany and was one of my early interviews on this podcast. If you get a chance, go back and check it out. But having him on this TV show, Comics Keep 'Em Laughing, from back in 1987, was a real treat to see and revisit at this late date. So that was the whole show. I put it into this as one whole show. It's broken down into three segments, but it was a 28-minute TV show back in 1987, and we hope you enjoyed listening to it and got something from it. I know I did. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure to tell your family and friends, and if you get a chance, go on to Apple or Spotify and rate us. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another great show. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.